Hey, what you waiting on? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student. I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this. I ain't new to this. My style is rich. It's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fashion. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational. Like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony.
Go BBS Radio.
We're live here another week of the Tony Sands Show. I am here with my man, VC, Denver Bronco down. Listen, and I got to tell you, when you talk Denver Broncos, the only thing people are hearing and the only people are saying is the marriage between Russ and Sean. Has that marriage came to an end? Are we going to see a divorce in the near future? We're going to dive a little bit into that. And see, you know, how that go. Me and B had some conversations about that early in the week. Yeah, you know, some of both of us had different opinions about it, but that's neither here or there. Sure. We're gonna dive into it, and that's what makes Sports Talk Radio what it is. Absolutely. On our show. We're able to dive into it, get into it during the week, and then bring it to you guys on a Thursday night. B, listen, there's a lot of things going on in the sports world, man. A lot of things going on. Some coaches are hot, some coaches are not. Some team have peaked, some team are starting to gel, and some teams we just don't know what's happening from week to week. We got coaches making sure that players are being accountable, coaches calling out players when they're not accountable. And we're going to dive into that. These are grown men. How does it play out when you're dealing with grown men? Dealing with the NFL are the same things that the high school level, the college level is still demanded out of a guy that's at the pro level who is, in fact, a professional. We're going to dive into that. Michigan is all of a sudden in the limelight again as we start to get into the playoff system, how that's going to play out with Jim Harbaugh, how that's playing out with Florida State fans, which B is a Florida State fan, and he is strong. Listen, we're going to dive into that. We're going to dive into who's winning in college football, who's not. What I mean by who's winning, who's not, in the portal. Who's winning the portal race? Who's winning just the high school race? Because high school students, really, it's kind of hard because a lot of those guys do not get recruited now, B. We're going to dive into that situation. What's going on in Kansas City? Let's dive into that, man. What is going on to start the show? What is going on in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes and all the interceptions, or should we count his interceptions as bad passes or bad drops or blue hand or sticky fingers when it comes to Kadarius Toney? Do we see the end of Patrick Mahomes trusting Kadarius Toney?
Here's the thing now. I'm fresh back off a Motown Massacre. All right. I can't evade it. Yes. I have to let the people know while I was excited before, you know what I'm saying, that back now. It was a Motown Massacre, what happened to my team last week. But nonetheless, though, Patrick Mahomes, I think, you know, when you got no Eric Bieniemy, you know, it's tough.
Now.
That's what the whole thing about it is that nobody's telling you about and not talking about this is Eric Bieniemy is the reason why, in my opinion, why Kansas City's not looking how they looked previously before.
So you're saying now they are starting to see the value of Eric Bieniemy and what Eric Bieniemy brought to this team and how valuable he was to the team and how they did not look at how valuable he was when he was there. And they tried to, you know, ship everything and said that Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. I'm not discrediting his ability to play the quarterback position, but What were some of the key things you think that Eric Bieniemy brought to this team that we're not seeing out of this team now as we start to get into December, when teams like Kansas City looked like they was on a roll and where they were going?
First thing I left is experience.
Yes.
Experience went out the building. Eric Bieniemy went through the wars with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and co on a very short amount of time, but they went through the wars together. They won a Super Bowl together. So a lot of experience left in a short amount of time. So that's the first thing that left. I think another thing that left is a lot of tempo and rhythm of the offense is out of sync. It doesn't flow the same way with the same energy and the same quickness that it flowed with under Bieniemy. You got Matt Nagy now taking over. I think this guy is not officially a good offensive coordinator, Matt Nagy, you know? So with that being said, you know, this is what the problem, what it is. You got no experience, lack of tempo and cohesion. And then the last part, I think the third thing, and probably the most important along with experience, is the pass game that Eric Bieniemy put together was underscored. A lot of people thought because it was Andy Reid and then they gave the automatic credit to Patrick Mahomes, but they didn't realize that this guy is actually sitting there diagnosing passing schemes, routes, and combinations to be able to break down defenses week to week, and it was stellar.
And we talk about, and you brought up passing scheme, but we got to say, now do we see, or should Kansas City have figured out how to maneuver Patrick Mahomes' contract to be able to help sign Tyreek Hill? Because do we see, and as a matter of fact, before we say that, and these are some of the routes that Tyreek Hill would have been running. Thomas, can you put up that Patrick Mahomes soundbite that is upset with Kadarius Toney? And let's look at these routes. Now, these are the routes that we see each and every Sunday that we see Tyreek Hill running for the Miami Dolphins. Let's look at that. Right. And we're going to get a chance to look into this and see. Is it Tyreek Hill? Is it Eric Bieniemy? Or was it a combination of both? We have that, Thomas, ready?
From the 24-yard line, over the middle, Toney juggles, and it's picked by Jelani Tavai. And now Tavai throws it away. What is he doing? Out of...
You know, you just... you're gonna. He's not going to trust him anymore. He's just... It's coming down to a critical situation, and that's where the ball has to go because he's open. But I don't trust him. I'm losing trust.
Listen, when you look at that, like I told you, those are routes that you see Tyreek Hill running each and every week for the Miami Dolphins and making Tua look like he is a superstar because he's able to get those routes, split the seam, take it the distance, and that's why he's on his way to almost – eclipsing 2,000 yards receiving. Do we see where we're saying, okay, you undermined Eric Bieniemy's coaching ability? You didn't scheme enough as a front office to be able to pay Tyreek Hill and keep Tyreek Hill. Yeah, you won without him. But now we're seeing right now, in this year, we're seeing where that went wrong for the Kansas City Chiefs. As you saw, Patrick Mahomes was frustrated on the sideline. We've seen him frustrated more toward the end of this season than we've ever seen him, because he's normally a low-key type of low, relaxed type of guy. But we're seeing the frustration. We saw it the week with the ref situation where he got out of control with that situation. Now we see the drops because it's adding up in his interception rate. His interception rate is going through the roof, and that hurts when it comes to quarterback rating. So do we, I mean, how could we say this is going to play out? How do you think you see it playing out? Do you see him continuing to go to Kadarius Toney, or do you see him now trying to, if you see Kadarius Toney open, you say, now I'm going to pull it down and I'm going to go somewhere else?
Justin Ross has got to get the distribution of the passing routes now. Justin Ross is a person people need to pay him a little bit more attention to. He's got to be able to be an influential guy in the pass game. I think Kadarius Toney is kind of, they got to start to phase him out. You'll still see him possibly featured as a decoy or maybe doing certain little gadget plays. But when the game's on the line and moving forward, you cannot rely on this man. Yes. And let's not forget the New York Giants drafted him and they got rid of him fast because of the simple fact that this guy is there's question marks of how committed is he to playing football at his position. Can he run fast? Yes. Can he catch? No. Does he know his assignments? No. Can he line up properly? No. So therefore, he's not really a professional. Okay. So when it comes down to it, he's just not a professional. And when it comes down to it, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and co. rely on professional people.
Yes.
You know, in the building. It's a championship organization. So in order to be there, you have to be able to do your job properly. So in the last part, the concluded is that moving forward, what they have to do is they have to realize letting the enemy leave like that is costing them big time. It's costing them big time.
Yes. And now we're seeing how he was able to, and why Washington, when he first got to Washington, the demand that he was putting on those offensive players when they was, you know, saying, hey, he's too tough, he's too hard. We see now why Kansas City was able to win so much because of the demand of a guy like Eric Bieniemy. And now when we're talking about demands, this is one of the biggest demands I'm talking about. And we never get a chance to talk about it. We're shifting gears, but we talk about demand. Wow, what is going on in Pittsburgh? Some people are petitioning to have Mike Tomlin removed. They want him traded off. They want him even Ben Roethlisberger is saying this is not the Steelers' way. Man, what a turn of events when you're not winning, how this thing gets real ugly for you. It gets ugly.
Nasty. I mean, look, Mike Tomlin is being questioned, but people need to realize one thing and one thing only with this thing. The Pittsburgh Steelers have a habitual record.
Yes.
Of drafting malcontent wide receivers. I'm going to take you back to Santonio Holmes. Can play. Brother can catch. Brother got a chip. But we got to remember, though, the guy was considered a malcontent.
Yes.
Plaxico Burress, Antonio Brown, Deontay Johnson.
Yes.
Pickens now. This has become a long line in the history of guys that they keep trying to draft and make better people, and better wide receivers. Right. And they need to just focus on, hey, listen, you know, let's get better character people in the building automatically, and then we'll work on the football more. Then we got to worry about the off-the-field stuff, you know.
Yes.
You can't rehabilitate players all the time.
No, and that's the question we're looking at. Let's run through the soundbite. Thomas, can you play that first soundbite with Skip Bayless, Undisputed, that was played on Undisputed this week?
And guess what the primary topic was? George Pickens, who told reporters on Tuesday that he didn't block on a Jaylen Warren run that went down to the goal line last Saturday because he didn't want to get hurt. And he also told the media that it had singled him out for criticism during a frustrating season that obviously the entire team was suffering. Steelers now 7-7, having lost 3 straight and 4 out of 5. Here's what Mike Tomlin had to say.
George is a talented guy, but he's growing in a lot of ways in regards to football and life. We don't run away from that. We run to that organizationally. When we draft guys, we're committed to being a component of their growth and development in all areas. When you're winning and doing your jobs, man, a lot of the attention and so forth is on things such as that. When you're not doing your job and losing, you better keep your damn mouth shut and understand that attracts a certain type of attention as well. And usually that's vulture-like attention.
Now, when you come out and you say you don't block, you're not blocking because you didn't want to get hurt. Man, in the game of football, if the ball carrier is running the ball, you're downfield and you got to block. You say you're not blocking. Well, you're going to get the other guy hurt because you're not doing your job. I've never seen a pro guy come out literally and say, I didn't want to block this guy because I didn't want to get hurt. Wow.
New era of football.
And we talked about that. We me and you had a discussion on that. Was it, you know, this is just, it's insane. And then it is insane to hear a Pittsburgh wide receiver say they didn't want to block. When you thought about gritty blocking on downfield by receivers, you thought one team and you thought the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Two wide receivers this season, we heard, were not giving maximum effort. Deontay Johnson got questioned a couple weeks ago. Now we got George Pickens just telling you flat out, I'm not blocking anybody. I'm not trying to get hurt.
I'm not doing it. I'm not trying.
Christmas is in a couple days. I ain't trying to get hurt, bro.
But now, when you look at that, now that puts right. Mike Tomlin, to me, in a situation. Mike Tomlin, if a guy come out and say, I'm not blocking because I don't want to get hurt.
Right.
Do you continue to leave this guy in the lineup?
Well, here's something that I think Mike Tomlin mentioned that is one of the most valid points that I think he mentioned. The man said there's things going on that we want him to grow as a person and as a wide receiver. They're in the rehabilitation business in Pittsburgh. They correct. Like to take people who can play, but yes. kind of like got a little edginess to them.
A little roughness and say, to them.
Yeah, and say, come on in, man. You know, we'll show you the Pittsburgh Steeler way, and you'll get cleaned up.
Correct.
It's not working. Especially with the wide receivers. So when people say, like Ben Roethlisberger say that the Steeler way or the way that they do things in Pittsburgh is kind of outdated or no longer true, no longer a factor, I think it's not true. He's only had problems with the wide receivers.
Everybody else
has been good.
It's been good. They've been following the Pittsburgh way.
Besides Le'Veon Bell, but I mentioned him later.
And I knew you were going to go that way.
Well, I forgot about my boy, Le'Veon. You know what I mean? What? Talented listen, guy, but you know what I'm saying? They get you out yes. of there when you don't listen. When you're when not you're, committed, they get you out.
You go. And Thomas, because I want to hear that sound, because it sounds so funny in this day in the game of football to where you're saying, I'm not going to block. Can let's play that sound, buddy. Play that back. And stop right there. Right there. Topic. Look at him up at the top of the play right there. He just let the guy clearly get by. Right here at this top. Guys, this is a no-no. You don't do this even in Pop Warner football. It doesn't happen. Thomas, you can go ahead and let it play out and we're going to come back. Tuesday. That's good. Thank you. Look at that. He let him go. Clearly. You can see it. He just clearly said, not going to do it.
And like you said, he could even get himself hurt because him not blocking, the guy tackling his man could end up falling on his leg and he can get the double whammy on the bottom. Listen, if you go onto the football field, you got to have – getting hurt is not part of being a football player.
At all.
Getting hurt is not part of the game or what you think about. You think about execution.
Execution. Winning, getting it in.
Stopping your opponent.
Opponent. Getting it done. For those that want to call in to the Tony Sands Show, the number is 888-627-6080. That's 888-627-6008 if you want to talk to myself or B and chime in one of topics or even come up with your own topic that we can dive into. You call the Tony Sands Show and let us know exactly what's on your mind. But B, let's get back to that. Now, and Tomlin, even in that aspect, and a lot of people, like you said, they were putting out petitions. They were actually signing petitions to have Tomlin either traded off or fight. Tomlin has never had a losing season in his time with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right. And you can't find too many coaches, head coaches with the long tenure that he's had that can really stand on that, hey, I haven't had, I've been winning. I've been at the top of the mountain. I've got to the top of the mountain. I've been what you call a pro NFL coach at every aspect of the game. He is doing it. He's making sure that it's done. I'm trying to figure out when you call him in, Pickens, hey, listen, I got to talk to you. You made a comment and I'm looking at it on here in film. We're watching as we just played it back and Thomas rated, put it back for us and showed us it was just clearly a no block. What's going on here? Because not only that, you could have got your opponent hurt. You stopped us from getting a touchdown because your block could have been a key block that helped us get the touchdown. Not only that, you're standing around the pile, not looking. Someone's legs whips around, hits you in the knees. You are out of the game. How are you not going to block? This is the game of football.
And you get paid to do a job. See, this is not flag football where they're saying, I don't want to get hurt. And I'm not getting paid. You're doing a pickup football game on a Saturday. This man is getting paid, and he's expected to do a job, and he's not doing his job, clearly, in front of everybody.
And that's the part that I, if anybody that played the game of football.
But But here's the thing, though. Mike Tomlin gave us a secret. He let in a little secret, but he pulled back right at the time when people was going to be able to say, what's he really talking about? He said, listen, we're going to keep this internal with George Pickens because there's other things going on with Pickens that we don't know about. You know, and he acknowledged a little bit of it, but he didn't want to show his full hand with an exposure. You know what I mean? This guy might not be running his routes properly in practice. He might not be giving full maximum effort and everything. And if that's the case, there's things going on behind the scenes. They're going to have to sit him down and say, listen, we're going to make a business decision. This is the business of football.
And it is just that, the business of football. Guys, we're going to run. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to come back on the other side. And as we're talking about demanding excellence out of your players, it takes us to the Mile High State, the Denver Broncos. I'm going to show you two clips. And me and V were going at it on the text back and forth. Listen, we were going at it. And me and V get into some good ones on the text going back and forth. And listen, you have to just, with us guys, you got to understand. I just said, okay, you got your opinion, I got mine. We're going to end it though. We're going to leave it because to get into it. We're going to come back on the other side of this commercial and we're heading to the Mile High Stadium. Denver Broncos. What Sean Payton did, was it coaching or was it belittling? We're going to let you as our audience dig into this with us as we break this down here on the Tony Sands Show.
That's how you train like a beast. Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. I'm going to the top. I'm going to the top.
That's how you train like a beast.
Whole squad ready. We came here to see Jeff. What you got? No. Not on my watch.
No way.
Bring what you got. I'm going to the top. You can bring what you got. I'm going to the top. Bring what you got. Bring what you got. I'm going to the top.
Saving this goat and took over our office.
And he's using it to send out medical bills.
Good hands.
Hospital bill for Prime.
Yeah.
Did you just say gap?
He's talking about expenses health insurance doesn't cover.
Good thing Coach Prime knows about saying one time.
Aflac.
Because Aflac gets you money to help close that gap.
Now how do we get this goat out of here?
Aflac.
Meet one of my new homies.
Get help with expenses health insurance doesn't cover at Aflac.com.
Elephant would have been scarier.
Some Mile High NFL royalty. New head coach of the Broncos, Sean Payton. To star quarterback, Russell Wilson.
Now, we see
Friends.
We see that pitch. I had to dig that up. Over boy V. I dug that up. Listen, we see a match, what we look like, two guys knowing and understanding that they got to get the job done in order to be successful. They have to communicate.
Right.
There they are sitting. You very rarely see a coach and his quarterback sitting courtside at a basketball game. And they're sitting courtside at a basketball game. They're communicating. They look like they're having fun. Until last week. B, until last week. B. Thomas, hold on. Now, I'm going to show y'all this clip, but then I got to show you this clip. Thomas, can we go? Thomas, go ahead and play soundbite number three. Let's play soundbite number three. And let's dig into this, and you tell me, guys, what you think. Is this
Tony going in this week on my boy?
I'm just dabbing into it. We're going to dab into it a little bit. Not much, but we got to dab into it because the fans want to
know. Let's go.
Sean Payton chewed out Russ while the Broncos were being chewed on and spat out by Dan Campbell's Lions. Here's Sean Payton on that conversation.
Do you still feel he has the faith in you? Do you still think he trusts you like you should?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I think the biggest thing is, you know, we're trying to score a touchdown there. I think we all want to score there. I think that's our focus, you know, and you want a coach that's, you know, passionate. We want players that are too.
I was upset about the call. That's all. Simple. That's it. Listen, what I talk with Russell about is none of your business.
And as you heard, as you say, when I talk, for those that want to chime in on this topic, the number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. 888-346-6008. Chime in and let us know. Give us your opinion. You can go on my Facebook. You can hit us up and call in if you got any questions. Now, and what I'm saying, I showed you the marriage in the beginning. And I showed you where we're at right now.
That's right.
I showed you a frustrated Sean Payton at Russell Wilson. What you think, V, that would bring that on? Now, because when I look at that frustration, okay, this is what, and we talked about this week, this is what I look at when I see that. Okay. I'm looking at Sean Payton and I'm saying, okay, I'm saying, when you first went over there, you say, hey, man, come on, let's go. Okay, I got you. You walked away and like you say, I ain't telling him enough. I got to go back. And you went back to him again. Was it at that point you say, okay, understand, I'm already pissed off with management because I can't do nothing with you. Normally in that case, if he does not have the contract that Russell Wilson has, Sean Payton probably long time ago would have gotten rid of and done away with Russ, but he can't do it. So is it the frustration that he having for Russell Wilson because he can't move him? And we talked about that when you can't move any guy and you're stuck with the guy, you can't bench this guy because he's That's making right. too much of guaranteed money.
That's right.
Is that frustration toward Russ, or do you think that frustration is toward the play calling? Do you think that frustration that Russ didn't run the right play, guys off sides, or do you say, okay, listen, I'm stuck. I got my hand a lot. I can't do nothing with the guy, but he's not the guy. This guy can't do what I want to do. So
here's the thing. First off, I was at the game and I didn't even see that happen. The action, you know, at a live game is going so fast.
Going fast, yes.
That what's happening on the sideline right there could happen in an instant and you miss it. Yes. My phone went crazy of people texting me saying, Sean Payton screaming on Russ. I said, screaming on him. I said, looked at the phone. I looked at the sideline. I'm right there. I'm looking. I'm like, I don't see that. So I didn't actually see it happen. The screamed on, him getting screamed on until I got back after the game was over. Now.
Correct. So now, what I'm saying
With that being said, people got to understand two things. One is Sean Payton's The part of the job that Sean Payton took as coaching the Broncos is you got to fix this guy because we got a contract with him for a lot of money.
Correct.
Can you fix him? All summer long, he said, before he even got the job, he said, I'll take cut-ups of Russ that he did in Seattle and I'll design an offense. He had a plan. He told management, I can fix it.
Right.
So he this is part of what he signed up for. Now, Russ Wilson last year was doing whatever he wanted to do. He was running offensive plays. Nathaniel Hackett let him go willy-nilly. He
free
was doing
range.
His own thing.
Freelance.
Let Russ cook.
Let Russ be Russ.
Let Russ be Russ, right? Okay. Sean Payton told him earlier, like when they were sitting courtside, he was joking with him probably saying, you still know you're going to run when I'm telling you to run. And that's where this comes down to. Russ Wilson cannot deviate. He can't deviate. He can deviate once the play starts. Okay, he can pump fake, jiggle, run, do whatever he wants. But when he comes to the line of scrimmage, here's the deal. He's got four plays with that alignment. Russell Wilson comes to the line of scrimmage. He calls it. It's a dummy call, as we talked about last week on the Tony Sands Show. The problem with this is what he tries to go back to the old Russ and try to cook and do his own numbers. He didn't make his checks at the line of scrimmage. He didn't make the dummy calls like he was supposed to. He didn't get the people lined up properly. So we got two offensive offside penalties, which wasn't even an offside penalty, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. If you look back at that play, if you look back, there was no offsides on that. So I'm trying to figure out now, should we look at that? And I'm quite sure when Sean went back and looked at that, if that was the situation where Russ might have came out and said, hey, man, challenge that. Now, if your quarterback, in pretty much probably about 80% of the situations, if a quarterback comes off and says, hey, coach, challenge that, man. Hey, challenge that, because you're feeling that your quarterback sees what you don't see from that side. Just as you said, I'm in the stadium.
Was in it.
Yes, he was in it. I'm up here. I didn't see, but I got a lot of calls that something went on. Do you think that's what take Sean Payton off and Russ, hey, man, challenge the call, man. Let's challenge it.
No, why I think what happened was is he was consistently through that game not making proper checks. And okay. Sean said, we talked about this 4 months ago. And that's what people got to understand. When he blew up like that, he's blowing up with him over something that he's consistently talking to him about week after week, month after month. And it got to the point where he said, how many times do I got to tell this guy? This guy's a Super Bowl winning quarterback getting paid $40 million a year, and he's not doing the basics. And we got to remember something. Working with Drew Brees for 15 seasons.
Yes.
A Hall of Fame quarterback who was cerebrally at one point better than he was physically.
Correct. Okay.
So him and Sean Payton had a real connection, 15 years with somebody working together, and they liked each other like that. Like, that's a connection. So now going from Drew Brees to Russ, who's really erratic. He doesn't stick to plays. Guys are running wide open on the route as designed. He's not hitting the guy because he wants to move, do his own thing.
Right.
Coaches get very upset, and that's what got Russ out of there, and that's what made Sean upset.
And as we know, Russ did, and to defend the organization and not come down so hard. Now, in my instance, when we talked earlier, I stated, do you go after a grown man with children and a wife in that openly manner? A lot of coaches that you see, when they're going after their quarterback, they wait till they get to the bench. And they'll sit down by them, and they'll whisper in their ear, and that's it. We very rarely see, first of all, you very rarely see coaches going out, especially a head coach going after a quarterback. We'll see them go out the receiver. We'll see them go out the running back. We'll see them go out the linebacker. Sure. But we very rarely see him go after a quarterback for the simple fact that the quarterback is the leader. And understand, if I'm following you as you're my leader, and I see my head coach rip you, does that make those guys that are following Russ look at Russ as weak? And how many of those guys?
Here's the thing what people got to understand. Last year, Nathaniel Hackett, the Denver Broncos organization, let this man have an office. He had all kind of his own staff walking around, his own quarterback coaches and all of this type of stuff going on in the building. They had to get rid of all of that. And what happened was Sean Payton said, I'm going to make him accountable, just like the long snapper, just like the practice squad guy. He gets no breaks. So what's happened is Sean Payton said, you going to get screamed on now because I pay you $40 million. You won a Super Bowl. You're a Super Bowl winning quarterback. And you making mistakes like Zach Wilson's supposed to make.
But now, now follow this out. Everybody's seen it because it was played out all throughout Sunday after it happened. Yeah. Monday was on all the talk shows. Your children go to school. Man, they little boy. Man, Coach Payton, little boy, your daddy. Man, Coach Payton made your daddy look like he was a chump. And your daddy ain't say nothing. Now, and you know kids will do that. Now, how much of that you think that Russ had to get a handle on in his household? He's married to Sierra, high profile. Man, he made – and then when I looked at that press conference, when I looked at Russ in that press conference, look at Russ.
He was humbled, brother.
Was that humble or was that a guy saying, God, dog, it's just – I just feel so
– He was Ant-Man at that moment.
Russ looked very small.
He was Ant-Man. You remember Ant-Man from the Marvel movie, the smallest character? He turned him into Ant-Man because I think Sean Payton be really verbally giving it to these players in practice and in meetings.
Well, he's old school coach, right? Come up
Bill
on that
Parcells, Bill Parcells disciple, Creed, like I told you, right?
So we know what to expect with this guy, right?
But here's the thing. If you're yelling at wide receivers, if you're yelling at linemen in offensive meetings, but you're giving him a pass.
That's protocol.
Guess what?
Quarterbacks get protocol. They get passes.
Until it's repetitive and habitual and on national television when I need this
win,
now you get screamed on.
Listen, how often do you see – listen, okay, I'm going to name some quarterbacks. I'm going to name some. And you tell me how they would have reacted in that situation.
Okay.
And the name.
Okay. Go ahead.
Ben Roethlisberger, how he would have reacted in that situation.
With Mike Tomlin?
No.
Or Bill Cowher. Which one? Wait. Which one? I want to make sure I understand.
We're not changing the coach. I'm not changing the coach. I want the same coach. I want to just say, give me the reaction of that quarterback.
I think the relationship with the coach and the quarterback is going to dictate the whole thing.
Okay.
Look, let me give an example.
Bill Cowher and Ben Roethlisberger.
Let me give an example. Let me give an example. Bruce Arians could yell at Tom Brady. He could go at it with Tom Brady. He Bruce Arians, right? But let's say
Troy Aikman, Jimmy Johnson.
Troy couldn't say nothing to Jimmy. I mean, what are you gonna say to Jimmy?
Troy wouldn't have said nothing to Jimmy in the beginning. I think Troy would
give you another coach.
Go ahead.
Now, Tony Dungy would have never yelled at nobody, I don't think. You know what I'm saying? If Tony Dungy would have yelled at Peyton Manning, I think Manning would have backed down.
Manning probably would have backed. No, I think Manning would have gave a look that, hey, wait a minute, hold on.
Right, yeah, like, wait, you know, they would have talked about it later. Now, here's the thing I want to tell you. I think Sean Payton apologized to Russell Wilson. And I'm gonna shock you. I'm gonna tell you what he apologized to him for, though. He apologized to him and said, "My bad, man. I should have challenged that play." He not apologizing to screaming.
But how could you do that? If you know I should have challenged the play, and that's probably what blew my top. How do you not apologize to? No. The outburst on the sideline.
No, see, I think what I'm saying is the touchdown play that he didn't score on wasn't really what totally blew him over. It's been a conglomerate of things, and he just blew a gasp.
Okay,
right? But he's mad at himself as a head coach for not challenging that play. So he's got to say to Russ, "Man, I got to have your back, Russ." In that scenario, when you get down in a scenario like that, I gotta trust that you got in on that. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I that's what I'm saying. That's why Russ said, "Hey, man, challenge it."
So he apologized. I think he apologized to Russ. I think, but he also told Russ, "I'm gonna scream on you again on national television against the Patriots if you don't do what I tell you to do." Now,
okay,
run that play.
Here go another.
Yep.
Tom Brady ain't taking that, man. Yeah, I don't care who it is. Tom Brady and
With Bruce Arians?
No. You remember him and Bruce Arians? You know, that's where they
had kind of had that ruffle.
Bruce Arians had said, "Hey, listen, I'm out of here. Because he knew you weren't going, first of all, you weren't going to win that battle. You was not going to win that battle. Now, tell me, if Russ fires back you've seen some coaches some quarterbacks go back at coaches. If they, hey, watch out, homeboy.
Right,
don't come to me like that.
Right.
If Russ would have went back and snapped back at Sean, how do you think Russ is looked at by the public?
It wouldn't have mattered. Sean Payton would have had that man in the office the next day and told that man, "If you ever do that again to me on national television.
But you can't do anything.
He will find a way. There's only three more games left.
No,
it's only three more games.
Okay, remember, look at all the money that you are tied up into this guy.
Hey, Sean Payton will find a way to get you out the door.
I think that family is not going to just let you just throw that kind of money away. This guy walks away with that kind of money. You can't. And that's the frustration. That's where the frustration comes in, because that wasn't a frustration of just this play. This is a frustration of a collective amount of
things.
That's
what I'm telling you. And you got to understand, he has not done it. He has not done his job consistently. But he's had a good season. He's improved.
He's playing.
So here's the thing. Sean is saying, "I expect this of you."
Correct.
"I don't expect this of the third running back or the third wide receiver to do certain things." But this is a Super Bowl winning quarterback that allegedly could be Hall of Fame guy, making elementary wrong plays or wrong checks, and it's unacceptable, man. He had a bad night.
I'm gonna call two of my Denver Broncos, and I'm gonna try to get them. I was trying my best to get on either Talib or Chris, And I'm going to get him on next week. I was trying to get one of those two guys.
The no-fly zone. The no-fly zone. Okay.
Those are my guys. Those are my guys.
One of the greatest secondaries in the history, ladies and gentlemen, of the National Football League.
I shouldn't even say that.
Chris Harris, Akeem Talib.
Listen.
Okay. Miss Boss Ward. Okay.
Yes. We got you. We got the Denver Broncos. They're my boys. I'm going to try to get them on next week, and we're going to see from their aspect, how do they see that? Is that a positive thing for the Denver Broncos?
Yeah,
Whether it's just something.
Hey, listen, to wrap it up, if the Broncos win on Sunday night and Sean Payton and Russell Wilson high-fiving on the sideline, what are we going to say?
I mean, we're going to say, hey, listen, they was able to get this thing together. They was able to make a right, and they're moving in the right direction. I still think Russ is still taking some heat from people, and you know, and I know, homeboy's gonna come in rusty, man. How you like? Okay, they just punk you like that or something. Don't, and even not on that, you'll have some players in that locker room, man. That jugger would have did me like that.
Boy, Sean Payton does that to them. Sean Payton does worse to them. Sean Payton does worse to them in the building, brother.
But that's in the building. That's within the confines. As we say, that's in the locker room. You can
He tell them guys, if you do that on the field, I'm going to do it to you out there too.
You can't. You listen, this is me. Maybe I'm, and like you said, maybe I'm moving from the ocean. Because I was one of those guys in the training business, in the coaching business. Well, you know, hey, I'm a rah-rah guy. Let's go boom, 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 boom. But I also know as times are moving, as we're moving into new times in football, and football is changing. If we don't have the old football, that's why we're outlawing certain tackles. We're looking at the drop tackle this year. And just as I'm trying to bring it to my mind, the one DB that just got,
DeMonte KZ. DeMonte KZ from Pittsburgh.
Said, guess what? We might as well start putting flags on every play because you're not going to be able to take them low and you can't hit them high. You're going to get a lot of guys ran over in the game.
It's a different football now. Different era.
That's what I'm saying. You said we're in a different era. So we can't just continue what was old. That was normal in my day of playing football. Normal in your day of playing football.
Sure.
In this day and age, I don't know if that's normal. I don't think these guys.
He's a dinosaur, Tone. Tone, what you're saying is right. He's a dinosaur, but you got to remember now the organization hired him because they wanted a stiff, sturdy coach.
Yes.
They wanted this guy. Yes. This is what the organization wanted, bro. Yeah, and the owners say, hey, you got to talk to Sean. Don't talk to me.
And I'm still trying to see. Now, do Russ still has his office, his own private parking lot? Or did
nothing,
they end
nothing.
That?
Everything is gone, brother. He's treated just like, and that's why he screamed on him on the sideline to show all the other players, you will get screamed on too. But the thing about it is that he screams on guys all the time, and they like, he don't scream on Russ. Oh, really? I screamed on Russ on national television a week before Christmas.
Listen, I've been through that before as a player. I've been through that.
You know how that is.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to tell you. There were times, that things would jump up at the University of Kansas, right?
Right.
My situation. The first thing guys say, and they'll walk past you and say the little slick stuff. I bet he wouldn't have said that, Tony. And there'll be two people walking together. Two guys walking together, and the first thing they'll walk by you, I bet he wouldn't have said that, Tony. He just said that. I bet you. But you as the player, you hear that. And you say it to yourself, and that to me, that make you walk even a fine line because you don't, your coach and you have a relationship. Me and my coach had a great relationship. And I wanted to make sure that I made him look good. I didn't want, there's certain times, a couple times, and my biggest issue was always reporting back to school. I was a leader, but I wasn't a captain because leaving Florida, if I had to leave Florida and I had to report at 5 o'clock in Kansas that next day, I was leaving at 5 o'clock on a Friday if I had to be there on a Saturday. So I had no room for error because it's a nonstop 24-hour drive.
See, you see?
And I know, listen, I know it. I'm a wind up being late because either the kids had to stop, something, my wife had to stop, something had to happen, and we never was able to make it back on time. And the first thing they'll say, listen, let that be one of us. There would have been holy heck to pay
Hey, you would have been playing for Deion Sanders. You saw what Deion be telling them kids when they be going on break, right? Y'all come in here 1 minute late, you ain't gonna have no locker.
Yeah, see,
come off that, come off one of them breaks with Deion Sanders talking about, y'all, I'm 10 minutes late. They're gonna be like, this, where your jersey at? You don't play here no more.
Hey, that's what I'm telling. And listen, I had basketball stats at University of Kansas. You understand? But there was basketball that ran the University of Kansas, and then there was football. Well, I had basketball stats. So with that being said, I played a different piano there for myself, for me.
Right, right.
I loved it.
Right.
But I knew how far to push the needle. And then I knew how far I could take Coach Mason at the time and still be protected under umbrella and not to take it to where, okay, now it either become embarrassed or become a challenging issue to the team.
Right.
There's certain situations, and, you know, I knew, you know, hey, I ain't gonna push him now. I'm going to take him to the edge, but I'm going to back off before I drop off the cliff. And I think in Denver's case, I think Russ is finding out that he got to do the right thing by what Sean Payton wants. If not, two things going to happen. Now, you know, if they hold on to Russ, if they hold on to Russ next year, then they gotta keep him for 2 years, the way his contract works. So they're going to have a decision to make. Do they follow their head coach and say, hey, listen, this guy can't do what I want him to do, so we got to leave him. We got to back off of him. We got to move in a whole nother direction. And we're going to move in a whole nother direction. We're going to college football. And you brought up Deion Sanders. You brought up primetime Deion Sanders. Right now. Sanders. And let me see, my man Anthony Adams had a comment. What's wrong with Peyton, what Peyton did to Russ? Adams, listen, this is the only thing I'm saying. The only thing I'm saying is, was it over? Did the coach go over beyond when you're dealing with the grown man? Sometimes, and I know, did he go overboard?
That's you got to understand, it's accountability. I'm paying him $40 million. He's a Super Bowl quarterback. You got to make your checks and assignments at the line of scrimmage. Listen, and that's it. If he does it, he will never get screamed on again. But if he keeps trying to do some Russ thing,
I had to process it since me and you went back and forth on the text. I had to process it. I looked at it both ways. It gave me a chance to back up and look at it and say, okay, he's trying to get the best for the team. In order to get the best for the team, sometimes you got to go at the head of the team. And if Russ is the head of the team, if I want everybody else to fall in line, I got to go after the head.
It's about accountability, Tony. Accountability. You know that as a sport in sports, it's about accountability. We understand the Tony Sands and the Russell Wilsons get breaks by coming in late. We understand that. But look, I don't get the break though, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Jimmy Johnson made that rule.
He's screaming on me. He's screaming on me, making sure that I'm here 5 minutes early. He making sure I'm my assignments, and I know five different checks and whatever they throw at us, I got to know it nine ways, right?
You better.
I better. But now, if he's on me all week and the other guys, but he's, you know, you Tony or you Russell Wilson, he say, all right, you know what you got to do. Let's just go play, right? But then you get out there and you start not blocking and the quarterback getting smashed and it was your assignment, Tony Sands, on the play action fake the block.
Correct.
The coach gonna go crazy on you, bro. Like, what you think you're doing out here, Tom?
And you talk that they brought up a couple names on the chat on my Facebook. They brought up a couple names. They brought up John Elway challenged by Dan Reeves.
Yes. Perfect.
You
example.
Think John Elway would have backed off? You think John Elway would have came back at Dan Reeves?
I don't think so. Not in the early days of Dan Reeves. How about when Mike Shanahan came at John Elway a couple of times when John wasn't doing what he was supposed to
Correct.
Do? Because see, Mike Shanahan came in, and part of the reason why he came in to get John Elway is because John was so erratic with the you know, with the hype plays and scrambling. Yes.
John was a wild boy.
Listen, man, we got to tone this thing down.
John was a wild boy. But now we're talking about wild boy because we got a little bit of time left. Let's jump into the biggest game this weekend. The biggest game this weekend,
let's go.
You know, it is
Dallas
in my
Cowboys.
City. Dallas
it is Cowboys.
It is in my city, and we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys and the Miami Dolphins. The Dallas Cowboys versus the Miami Dolphins. Listen, everybody here are going crazy about this game.
It's a big game. Right now, this is the game of the week.
Listen, there's no parking passes at Hard Rock Stadium. All the parking passes are gone. They've already said, I think parking passes are gone. That's just how big. Now, the biggest thing is, if you look at social media.
Okay.
When Dallas went to Carolina, Dallas took over. They did what they call a Dallas takeover, to where they pretty much took over everything. They, tailgate the stadium. You thought they was
tailgate
in
everything.
You thought they was in Dallas.
Right.
But they were actually in Carolina.
Right.
The same thing is going to happen. I'm telling people, the same thing is going to happen when we go, when Dallas come to Miami. It's going to
You gotta
be
pay us rent though. Wait, hold on. You gotta pay us rent. That's called Mile High South. We already ran that. That's our stadium. It's called Mile High South.
Oh, so y'all
you
said
gotta pay rent. You gotta pay us rent. You gotta pay us rent. You gotta pay us rent.
You were saying
when Tebow went down there to Miami, I went to that game with Tebow, and we won in that stadium. We chant that Mile High South, bro. So you got to pay some rent this weekend.
So listen, we're going to pay some rent to the Denver Broncos. Look, my guy said that is Denver Stadium versus Hard Rock Stadium versus the Miami Dolphins Stadium. But I'm telling you.
So, listen, yes, it's Texas Stadium this weekend.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
Yeah. No, you know what we call it? We're going to call it Texas Stadium. We call
what you going to call it?
I'm going to call it the Cowboys' second home, because we're going to make this second home. They love, you know, they got Dallas.
There'll be a lot of Cowboy fans, bro.
They are coming to Miami. It is, listen, that's all you're hearing about down here in South Florida. Everybody, people that ain't even going to the game, people that's not even going to the game is going to the tailgate. They don't, listen, it's going to be just as many people outside as there will be inside. Now, the difference is, what would the stadium look like? Will it look Cowboyish? Would it look Miami-ish? I know Miami fans going to try to come out. We got 1 minute. Go ahead.
What's the temperature in the game? What's the temperature at game time?
70 degrees.
You're
going to
be on the hot side of the stadium. And that stadium?
At 4 o'clock. It's going to be cool. It's been cool.
Okay, all right. Well, then you lucky, because they put the opposing team on the sun on that stadium.
In the heat, yes.
In the heat. Listen. My team lost last week, and your team took a bad L also last week. So both our teams need to rebound. But here's the thing with this game. Tariq Hill sat out last week for a sole purpose, brother. For this game, he said, Dallas coming to South Beach. I'm trying to put on a show, baby. That's all he want to do. Tariq Hill, didn't forget that playing the Jets last week. He want to play you, Tony. So look, this going to be a hell of a game, brother. The problem with this game is that the Dallas Cowboys run game has not fully established itself consistently enough for me to be able to pick you. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that's like the Cowboys, you're playing good. But listen, last week's loss was brutal, and now you're running into a buzzsaw right now. Bradley Chubb, Vic Fangio got the defense playing very well. Mike McDaniel scheming up some beautiful stuff, run game, pass game. Look, I got 27-20. Miami.
27-20. Oh, my goodness, 27. I'm going the opposite. I'm going 14. I'm going to give them 21. 21-35, the Dallas Cowboys. That's what I'm going. And we're closing out on that floor. My man, Joe, we attacked those. I'm saying that's it. I'm leaving out of here. How about them Cowboys? We will see you next Thursday. And when I see you next Thursday, we will be saying it was a Cowboy takeover. We're signing off. I'm Tony Sands. That's my man, BC, Denver Broncos. Listen, we're back and back with the vengeance. We're closing out here on the Tony Sands Show. We'll see you next Thursday as we bring you sports and life.
Happy holidays, brothers.